Hello and welcome to the EDUCAUSE podcast. This podcast is sponsored by Moran Technology Consulting, providing management and IT consulting services to higher education institutions around the world. MoranTechnology.com. I'm Jerry Bain, and on this podcast, I speak with Bill French, founder of iPhone CTO and iPad CTO, about how iPads and tablets in general are creating new learning opportunities for students and faculty. I started our conversation by asking Bill to explain what tablets bring to the educational technology table.
You know, the best way to think about education in the context of this movement to use tablets more, I think, has much to do with mobility and agility. When you're trying to educate an audience, even if it's a one-on-one presentation, what I've noticed is that tablets in general, iPad and otherwise, are much more approachable. They're much more socially acceptable as a device to share information on. The tablet tends to drop that curtain of technology because it's literally just a slate. It looks more and feels more like a pad of paper than it does a computer. And I think because of that, that subtle differentiation between, you know, those devices that we've come to know as the most mobile and most portable things in computing, with a keyboard, a full keyboard, a fairly hefty battery, sometimes a cable attached to them because the batteries aren't enough, and a fairly large screen. They're very awkward in terms of putting it between you and your audience, whether it's a classroom of students or whether it's just an individual that you're trying to sell something to. It literally is a demarcation of technology that stands between you and the audience.
That's a great point. I was just thinking about pads versus laptops. You know, even the way we look at them, you have a screen that is vertical right in front of you. I think the iPads are more like more slanted. And you're looking down, and it's just much more natural and doesn't block you from your audience.
So the orientation of the device, I think, plays a big role in it. And a notebook just can't be oriented very easily. It's very difficult to hand somebody a notebook and say, see, right?
That's true.
Right? Look at this data or look at this picture. It's very difficult to hand somebody a notebook to achieve that impression. And with tablet devices, it becomes so much more chummy to be able to sit around a tablet. And in fact, most of the tablet devices are high-centered. What I mean by that is if you lay them flat on the desk without a case on them, they literally can pivot. So when you're sitting at a desk and you just want to show somebody something, a very light tap on one of the corners, and suddenly, you know, the device is in focus. And you know, when you think about tablets, this is a feature that's in almost every tablet. The tablet knows which way is up. So even if you take a tablet and you hand it to somebody and you flip it toward them upside down, it will write itself.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the iPad 2. It appears that the iPad 2 is really ideal for presentations and sharing content. Could you talk a little bit about what you think are some of the best apps for doing just that?
Yeah, you know, before iPad 2 came out, it was really difficult to get anything off of iPad 1 and onto a large screen. There was a dongle that was provided by Apple. I think it was about $29, and you know, it allowed you to push content to VGA, which is adequate in most cases for presentations into groups and audiences. But with that VGA adapter, it required apps that were actually taking advantage of the port that the VGA adapter worked on. So the only apps that could actually present information were those that were instrumented specifically to do so. That, to me, was, you know, a showstopper in terms of saying that Apple's iPad 1, you know, was even good at education or good at presenting in large groups. There were some other apps that came along that allowed you to replicate what perhaps content on your various your iPad apps, such as PDFs and, you know, presentations and things like that. And so it was, even with that adapter and iPad 1, you were still quite constrained because those apps were only able to push out certain document types to the screen. With the advent of iPad 2, they opened that up and they realized there misgivings in their iPad 1 design, and they said, okay, well, you know, 100% of everything that's going on the iPad can be pushed out to a port, and it can be VGA or HDMI. Having said that, you know, we now have a device that can be easily plugged into either HDMI cables or VGA cables, almost rendering any need for any app in order to use the iPad 2 in educational processes. So, you know, while there are some really great apps out there that allow you to do even more things with regard to presentations, they're almost becoming insignificant in the overall scope of what it is that you're trying to achieve in terms of educating folks. So now, you know, with the adapter, which I think it's a little more money, it might be like $39, I'm not sure. With that adapter, you are able to use every app in every context you can imagine with iPad 2. In fact, you now have the latitude of actually showing the processes that you use on iPad 2 to utilize applications and things like that. You can fire up a browser and it goes to the screen just as easily as a time management system might go to the screen. And so from that context, we now have a device that we can use to train people on how to use iPad 2, as well as use it to train people on, you know, great aspects of the solar system using, you know, a really nice scientific application designed for that.
What is the most enduring educational quality of iPad, in your opinion, Bill?
I think it has to do with one key thing that very few people have actually noted. It has to do with threshold effect. Now, what I mean by that, this is, by the way, is nothing that I've invented or thought up on my own. I have watched companies and educational products, you know, across the board for decades now. And I've noticed that there's one thing that is instilled in tablets in general. Certainly iPhone, you could see it begin. But the ability to grab onto a slate and cross a threshold. If we think about education in general, I mean, the purpose of education is to take us to a point that doesn't exist in the classroom, an experience that doesn't exist in the classroom. And we do everything that we can that's possible to make classroom time cross these thresholds so that we have an understanding, so that we know what it's like, you know, to fight a war in China for freedom. And we know what it's like to swim with blue whales in the North Atlantic. We do that by helping students cross a threshold. Well, oddly enough, if you pick up an iPad and you begin to use it, you experience a threshold effect. And one of the thresholds that you cross is from this clump of glass and hardware to an experience. There's something transient about well-written apps extend this concept of threshold crossing. And so I think the enduring quality, the most enduring value of iPad today and any tablet in the future is how well will it help us cross a threshold and have all technology fall away so that we can learn from that experience. That, to me, is the most enduring quality.
It's well known that the iPad's primarily designed as a content consumption device, but education has much to do with content production. I was talking with Michael Wesch, who is from Kansas State University. And he said what's more interesting than what you're getting out of the device is what students are going to be putting into it, content creation. Could you talk a little bit about the iPad as a content creation device?
You know, he's absolutely right. This is a device that is going to alter the way that we capture thoughts. It's going to alter the way that we create knowledge. You know, when it was introduced, very few grasped the idea that this device was equally capable of becoming a window through which you hand information to other people using it as a window. And so, you know, now with the addition of cameras, video, and stills, arguably not super high quality just yet, but eventually they'll increase in quality, with the addition of voice to text, with the addition of alternative keyboards, you know, you can plug in a Bluetooth keyboard to this. All of these things have begun to chip away at the idea that iPad is really just a consumption device. But more specifically, I think what we're seeing now are students who are not fearful of a virtual keyboard as well. So just like we learned how to adapt, you know, from the mechanical typewriter to the IBM Selectric. I don't know if you remember it, but I remember there were literally classrooms full of people trying to understand why they didn't have to press hard on an IBM Selectric keyboard. We're going through a very similar thing, and eventually there will be an entire generation of people that have never typed on anything mechanical. No desktop keyboards will have existed at some point in time. And so I think from a content creation perspective, we're about to see a landslide of information begin to pour into these. Now, all of those things aside, consider some of the new applications, the new apps that have come out for tablet devices, specifically Apple, of course, because they're simply ahead of, you know, the rest of the industry at the present time. That won't be the case forever. But consider the apps that are making it possible now to build entire orchestration productions, to use iPad as a piano, as a guitar, for capturing music and other types of sounds. The voice to text. By the way, I write about 10,000 words a week. 80% of those words are spoken into my iPad. And the reason I speak into that is not because it has perfect quality. It doesn't. But it's close enough for me to say, well, if I'm going to type 10,000 words this week, I might as well type 80% of them with my mouth.
Right, exactly.
Right? Yeah, I mean, that has been like a huge benefit to me as a writer, not because I can speak the words. I can do that at my desktop, because I can speak the words wherever I happen to be when I have those thoughts. And I think from an educational standpoint, that's a critical element of the learning process, being able to be in the woods when you're writing poetry, or, you know, on a train when you're trying to compose interesting thoughts about your business. All of those things are now far more possible than they were. And a lot of it has to do with the startup costs of using an iPad versus the startup costs of using a notebook or a netbook. Yeah, you may be very comfortable with that keyboard, but what does it cost? What are the requirements for you to fire that thing up in an unfriendly environment that may not have a flat surface? So those are the things I think that are going to be very compelling in terms of creating content on this device. I think we're going to see far more than we ever anticipated.
Bill French, founder of iPad CTO. This podcast is sponsored by Moran Technology Consulting, morantechnology.com. I'm Jerry Bain. Thanks for listening. This podcast is sponsored by Moran Technology Consulting, morantechnology.com. I'm Jerry Bain for EDUCAUSE. Thanks for listening.